a month ago, a little more than a month ago, Nikki and I went on a cruise. Some of you heard about that already. And we, of course, we love to share, you know, our experience on it. But it's a cruise that explored certain parts of Southeast Alaska. As the day approached, on that Sunday of May 7th, departure from Seattle, one of our concerns was packing for this cruise. How do we pack? What do we bring? What luggage can we take? What could we take with us? Well, I looked on the Cruise Line website, and there was a nice little spot there that says, how to pack for your cruise. And it gives you all the various do's and don'ts that you can do or don't. Anyway, so each of us had one carry-on and one large luggage that contained the essential items for the trip. You know, I hadn't thought about that, thinking and, you know, recalling the trip and the experiences before, how that is similar to our spiritual journey. Think about that. How similar that is to a spiritual journey that God has called us to embark on, using that term, the embarkation from Seattle. Here we are embarking on a journey to where? A journey of walking on the path to the kingdom of God, where we are hopefully to receive the gift of eternal life, when God will bring many sons to glory. Now, how do we pack for this? I say pack for this journey, for this journey of a lifetime. We've been in it for quite a while. Some of us a short time, some of us a long time. But how do we pack? How do we continue, you might say, to pack? What do we say? Oops, I don't want this. I need that. So we make a little change in our luggage, do a little bit of sorting here and there in our lives. You know, interesting what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. Thinking about this particular scripture, and he said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Well, how did that affect my concept of packing for the journey of God? He called us to. Well, I thought about that particular scripture, and it does show that we don't have the power at all of ourselves to be able to take anything out of this world upon, you know, going into the grave. We had no idea that we were going to come into the world. There we are. No, we're alive. You know, some 3 years later, our memory starts, you know, getting stored. And you think some of us can remember back to when we were maybe 3 years old. My mother could. She remembers certain events. I can't. I remember things when I was 4 or 5. But how do we remember those things? What makes it possible? So I think about in chapter 19 of Matthew, because that shows some conditions. Let's go there. Chapter 19 of Matthew, and we will look at certain verses within this context. Matthew 16 and, I'm sorry, Matthew 19, verse 16. 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he, Jesus Christ, said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, if you want to enter into life, what is it that we're required to do? Keep the commandments." And the one person said to him, "Which ones?" Then Jesus enumerated the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth commandment as he replied back. And then 19, it's the fifth commandment in verse 19, "Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Leviticus 19, 18 there. Young man said to him, "All these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Well, going on with the story, and we see that the young man heard what Jesus advised him to do, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So you can see that image, that perception of God this young man had, that Mr. Parada was relating to. In verse 26, when Christ was looking at his disciples, said, "Who then can be saved?" And they had that amazed, you might say, countenance and question, "What's going on here?" And he said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So again, let's ask, how do we pack for the kingdom of God? Because God is making this possible for us. So today, let's consider four things that will help us in packing for the kingdom. Things that will remain and continue with us when God resurrects and brings us into the kingdom of God. So the first thing we want to talk about in laying the foundation is that there is a spiritual truth that underlies God's purpose in creating a human being. And I was referring to that a little bit earlier, the memory that gets stored in our heads. What did God put in us that enables us to remember, to recall? As recorded in Genesis, a human being, the man and woman, is God's supreme act of creation. It's the beginning, but it is a supreme act that he has planned since before time began. As a part of this awesome creation, he placed in man, he breathed into him, and man became a living being, nephesh, soul, a living being, which separates man from the animal world. This component, what is that component? That breath of life that he put into man? Well, I'd like to quote from the booklet, "Why Were You Born?" Page 4. I quote, "Human beings do have a spiritual component to our makeup. As Job 32, verse 8 says, there is a spirit in man. And the Apostle Paul pointed out in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So it is this human spirit that imparts the human intellect to our physical brains, creating the human mind. It's what make people vastly more intelligent than animals. Unquote. You know, this spirit in man is that component. God is created with a further purpose, a greater purpose, you might say. It's just part of his whole scenario of his supreme act of creation. And this spirit in man is to be combined with his Holy Spirit. And he's made that possible. All things are possible with God. And he's made it so that we can have this awesome future. It is this component to be combined with his Holy Spirit so that man can learn and know the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 again. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Speaking as to the physical nature and that spirit in man. Verse 11, that last part. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. That is a remarkable part. Verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That's awesome. When we look at the world around us, we see a tremendous need. We know that there is a tremendous need. This gives us the impetus, the desire for God's kingdom to come soon, as Christ said it, giving the example of the example prayer in Matthew 6, thy kingdom come. This world needs God's kingdom. And we are involved in it. And this spirit in man, and combined with God's spirit, is quite a database. Now we have that computer age with us. The database. It used to be the Rolodex. You know, remember those? Whatever we wrote down on our pads of paper. But the digital database. Awesome. What we have in our heads is a part of us. It's something even more awesome. Far greater than this AI chat and whatever they call it. And the threats that is posed out there. God's creation is far greater. So, how do we pack for the kingdom with this underlying component that we have, that God put in us? The first thing now, first of four things I want to present. The first thing is that as a part of our packing, it includes three things. It includes three essential elements: knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Where have we read about those three terms? You know, it is the knowledge, understanding, wisdom. These are the things that we've learned in living our lives up to this point. If we've gained from the earliest remembrances as a little child till now. In addition to that, we learn even more because of God's spirit that is combined with our human spirit upon baptism and after the laying on of hands. We learn even more by reading and studying the Bible. And the book of Proverbs has much to say about those three elements. For example, Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 2, verse 5. I'm talking about in the proper, previous four verses, how we incline our ear and how we apply our heart to knowledge, to wisdom. You're crying out for discernment, lifting up your voice for understanding. You're seeking for her. So a tremendous effort from the individual, seeking those three elements. When you do that and you receive God's words, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the eternal, a respect, a deep reverence of God. And you will find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the eternal gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That's the greater addition that we add to our lives. When God calls us, he gives us this awesome gift to be able to come before him and to gain greater information about life and about his plan for us and for all humankind. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. These proverbs show the potential when we seek God's hand in using his words, his Bible, to seek to gain insight and understanding of our lives, of our relationship with him, with God, and with one another. We've heard that in the first message. We do that now. And then we also think about our past experiences. Kindergarten years, preschool years, teenage years, all of those experiences. I won't share any of them with you, of mine. There are many. This takes too long. But they are important as I think back. I said, oh man, what a dope I was. Or hey, that was pretty neat. I was following something. All that kind of thing. Just being able to recollect that. And you can do that before God. Share that time with him. Part of meditation. Working with these three elements gives us, enhances our ability to have spiritual discernment when we apply God's words, the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom in the spiritual sense as well as our physical experiences that we have enjoyed. And talking about experiences, that's the second thing that we can pack. Thing number two, besides the knowledge, the understanding, and wisdom we can certainly gain from the experiences of our lives. Since the time of Adam and Eve, and I'm beginning a quote here, let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. I just use this one scripture just to illustrate the value of experiences of our lives, whether good or bad, something we can learn from. Matthew 16, verse 25. Let's take a look. Let's start with verse 24. Am I in the right place here? I think. Oh, that's what it's going on. I am having you go here, but I'm going to quote again from a booklet that we have. It's since the time of Adam and Eve, all people have died a physical death. Even Jesus Christ. but death is not the end. As Paul wrote, and I quote from 1 Corinthians 15:22, this is what he said, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Even though our life is temporary, God has not left us without hope. Not left us without hope and greater purpose for living. He has given us hope. He has given us a greater purpose for living. And so we've come to learn from the Bible that God has a tremendous purpose for our temporary physical existence. Here's what Matthew 16, verse 24 through 26 says. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?'" Well, you know, it's just going to go bye-bye if we don't connect with God. And that's what all mankind will learn, because all will be made alive eventually as a part of God's plan. So as we learn to apply the knowledge, verse 27, yay, now I got that one. Here's Christ further saying, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Those experiences are a part of the judgment, of the analysis, of the evaluation that God we have on every individual human being and what they do with it. As he works with each one. So as we learn to apply the knowledge, understanding, wisdom that we receive from by studying God's word and living a life with all of those experiences, and we've been called to experience a godly life, the works of our lives become embedded in our spirit, which will be valuable to God in his plan as he seeks to bring many sons into his glory. The third thing I want to point out that we will take with us beyond the grave is the promise of God. I could say, are the promises, plural, of God. You know, there are many promises that are recorded in the Bible. And each of us, every one of us, have certain promises that we hold dear to our hearts. It's very important. Hold very dearly. What are some of the examples that we can briefly point to? You'll have some things in your mind, but I'll just call out some things. Maybe it'll ring a bell, or you'll say, right. For example, the promise of eternal life. The promise of eternal life. We see that in John 3:16 and also in Titus 1 verse 2. I'm going to go to Titus. Titus is an interesting one, the way it's said. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. I'll start with verse 1. "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is according to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." That's a promise. Why? That's been around a long time, before the universe existed. Then another one, the promise of comfort during trials. The promise of comfort during trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Pass it on, pass it forward, type of relationship, whether now or in the future, in the kingdom. Then there is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And one of the aspects of the promise of the Holy Spirit is shown in John chapter 14 and verse 26. John chapter 14 and verse 26, when Christ told the disciples about the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things. That's a promise. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That's a promise. That's awesome too. Then we are aware of the promise of healing. The answers are different. Yes. No. Wait. James chapter 5 is a common scripture that we turn to, and we also look to this when we seek that healing. James 5, verse 13. If anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Raise him up, period. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Promise of healing. And then the last one I wanted to bring up for this point, the promise of a place prepared for you. John 14, verses 2 and 3. Where Christ said to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And then we read in Revelation 21 and verse 2. Revelation 21, verse 2, we see something that's awesome that's going to happen. Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That same city that those people, the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, looked forward to. That city, the New Jerusalem. Now, the next point, the first three, they all gel together. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, the life experiences that we go through, and the promises that we cling to. These three combined can build within us the fourth thing that I wanted to bring out today, that we can take with us beyond the grave. And what is it? Character. Character. Godly character. God is creating in his children his holy and righteous character, the pattern of life ingrained through habit of choosing the right way, the way of love, even against temptation and self-desire. Character is that ability to come to see right versus wrong, to compare a wrong decision versus a right decision, to be able to forsake that which is wrong and to hold on to the right one, the right principles, the right way, the right decision. You know, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, I won't turn there, but there is a term. The Son of God is shown to be the express image of the Father. That Greek word, image, is character. A stamped image exactly like the Father. In Romans 8, verses 28 to 29, looking there, we see something else about image. Romans 8, verses 28 through 29, and now we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to what? The image of his Son. To be like Jesus Christ. That very character, the likeness of God. And that we could be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. That he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. All those who seek that holy, righteous character of God. So, the present life that we are living in the physical, temporary, human bodies is our training ground toward this end, a time for God's children to develop righteous character, to become like Father and Jesus Christ, in our minds, in the spirit that's within us, and in our lifestyle, the choices that we make and live and relate to one another, as well as relating to our God and our Father and our brother, Jesus Christ. So concluding, in packing for the kingdom, what are the four things that we can do? Number one, from God's word, we can gain the knowledge and understanding and wisdom we need to make the right choices when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and leads us into the kingdom. These are the attributes that God seeks of those who will rule with Jesus Christ in the millennium. Number two, we can use the experiences of our human life when we counsel and guide many human beings during the millennium. Experience is a great teacher that can equip us with the things we would need to know to rightly help others in the kingdom of God. And there'll be a lot of people that we will meet or reacquaint ourselves with during the general resurrection after the millennium. That's going to be awesome. Going to be wonderful, and we can share and help them. Number three, each of God's promises stands on its own. He is faithful, and he will not fail. He will bring forth his reward for us at his coming. When he's revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And then number four, all of these put together will be building within us a sterling character that looks at the issues, refusing the wrong, choosing the right, and with God's help, to hold fast toward the goal of becoming a part of the family of God, a victorious conclusion. So, let us be about our Father's business. Let us utilize the life that we've been given to live, the past and the future, and each day, daily. Let's use it to prepare our packing for God's kingdom.